I ain't the same, a prodigal return. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. Yes, it has. I've been washed by the blood.
I'm no stranger to the prisons. I've worn shackles and chains. I've been freed and forgiven. Yes, I have. I'm not going back. I'll never be the same.
That's why we sing. Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Oh, my sins are forgiven. Whoa. I've been washed by the blood. There's a kind of thing that just breaks a Christian, breaks them down to their knees. God, I've been broken a time or two, but you pick me up and show me how to be a Christian. That's why we sing. Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Oh, my sins are forgiven. Yes, they have. I've been washed by the blood. Oh, oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank God.
My yesterday's gone. Oh, my sins are forgiven. Oh, I've been washed by blood. Oh, I've been washed by the blood.
Praise the Lord. Yes. No. Huh? If my wife can come up.
In and out of situations, a tug of war at me, all day long I struggle for the answers that questions become clear, and in that sacred moment, no doubt can interfere in the God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts amended.
Find the answers in the hours of distress. There is never any reason for you to give up in this fear. Just slip away and
praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Nyla. Thank you, Sister Trudy, my wife. Appreciate the Lord. Amen. Thank God for the gifts. Praise God. Let's take up our offering. Dale, you want to help us take up our offering? All right.
Desire for us to handle in our ways, but we handle it the best we can. So we commit this tithe and offerings to you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's just sing that song, Take Up Your Cross, key of F. Key of F.
Take up your cross. Jesus, take up your cross every day. Don't be afraid to say that you know Him. Count the cost, take up your cross and follow Him. Just take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Just count the cost, take up your cross and follow Him. Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing that one more time. Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Count the cost, take up your cross and follow Him. Just count the cost, take up your cross and follow Him. Praise the Lord Jesus. What a great thing it is to follow Him in this hour. Amen. Are you ready for the word? So we're going to have Brother Wade come. So let's just sing Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. Yes, I want to see You. To see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. As we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up,
shining in the light of Your glory. Thank You, Lord. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Thank You, Lord. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see You. And how are you going to see Him? You're going to see Him in the Word. And you're going to see Him in each other. So God bless you. Good to have you here today. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Looking forward to communion today. Afterwards here, we'll have our communion. We know we have it every month, but we haven't had it in 3 months because of this, whatever they want to call it. But we're getting through it. We're good. Brother Kylie, we good. Amen. I was thinking that we had all those services with just the men were here. And, you know, we got some good men singers. But we can't compare with y'all girl. Uh-uh. Monica says, uh-uh. That's right. No kidding. I've been asking Sister Trudy and Nyla, well, maybe not Nyla, but I asked Trudy to sing that song. The Christian man named Crowder sings the, yeah, it's been 2 years. I'll get to that. The song's been out a couple of years by a Christian man named Crowder, and I don't look at the person singing it. I watch for the words. And those words are just beautiful. All my hope is in Jesus. We have no other hope without Jesus Christ. So I asked her 2 years ago if she would sing it. So Crowder ain't got nothing on YouTube. When you get two Spirit-filled people singing a song, it ain't like no other body singing in the world. Nobody can compare to this bride as far as singing, and it coming from here, not just here. Amen. So God bless you. By way of announcements, you know what? Look, grab your little, do this. Somebody just hold on to this like this. Look, hold it like Frida. Frida's upside down, honey. Hold up. There you go. Okay. Now look what I want you to do. See that? So you can't mix it up. This is June. This is July. This is June. So, Frida, it's complicated for blondes. I know. It's complicated. We're a little weird around here. Well, some of us more than others. But this is your calendar. Now you will not have to say, what did Brother Wade say? This is your calendar. Put it on your refrigerator. And we're going to read it. Look what it says. It says... Well, I'm going to add this one. Brother Bob is going to be preaching for us Wednesday night, so keep him in your prayer. Also, the calendar, Bible study. Look, right here. Bible study, June the 6th. Everybody got that? Between 6 and 8 o'clock. And for Brother Tom and Sister Rebecca, good to have you with us. They never tell us the sister's name, so I had to find it out. But I figured if you've been in a message, you're either a Sarah or a Rebecca, because you say Rebecca in a crowd and 50 people go, what? Right? Because it's just a name that we associate with there you go, Rachel, Rebecca. There you go. Any R's. All right, so there's Bible study from 6 to 8. All right, it's good to have Brother Thomas, Sister Rebecca, Anastasia with us. They're from, we've known Brother Jim Ann Dalton for years and been out there hunting with him in the 90s. This was my BC before I knew Christ, so... Now you get to see the new me. So Brother Tom's been his kind of right-hand man. Well, they moved to Gainesville, so they're going to be close by with us. So if you'll look and see, now look, after second service, we're going to have a birthday party for Sister Dale. Everybody got that? Say amen. Okay. Then the youth is going to conduct that service, second service. Everybody got that? Say amen. Okay. Then the youth is going to stay for questions and answers and pizza. Youth, Brother Collie. Sorry. Young people. Yeah, I'm coming. And then look, the ladies' trip today, you're going to meet in my Sunday school class, the ladies. Us men, we don't have to meet a lot. We just need to bring our fishing stuff. Y'all got all the, you know, what color flowers is in the room and we don't care anything about that. But Esther's going to be with you downstairs because the ladies are going to take a trip, that same Father's Day weekend. We always have an annual fishing trip up in the mountains. We've rented a lodge for all the brothers and the kids to come, men. Oh, sorry. My son says I'm hitting my microphone. Sorry about that. So it's keeping them awake at the moment. So there's your calendar. And then look. Oh. Flip that thing right over and there's July. Saturday, July the 4th, Brother Andrew Glover's going to be here. We're going to have a youth service starting at 11 o'clock. You can come if you wish, you older ones. That's fine, but you'll need to sit downstairs because this will be for the youth. But if you want to come, and some people will need help because we're going to serve hamburgers and hot dogs after the service is over and have stuff for the kids. Everybody got that? All right, that's on July the 4th. Then Brother Andrew will be here that Sunday also. So as we make announcements, just keep this with you. Even if you want to just keep it by your seat and you can just write little notes in it. And it will help you understand when I start making these announcements. We've never had times like this. We've never had where we have to adjust. And we're going to have to adjust next Sunday because what happened was we had a bunch of people in my Sunday school class waiting for the small Sunday school classes to get finished. Well, we're going to take Sister Monica's class and put it in my Sunday school class next Sunday, right? She knows that, so most of you don't need to know it. But you can, the ones of you that come here that want to sit downstairs, you can come into the big area next Sunday and be able to sit down there first instead of crowding up in my Sunday school class. And that's my fault. I apologize. All right. So thank you everyone for being patient. Thank you everyone for coming. Thank you everyone for trying to do the best we can. We still want to do the social distancing. We don't practice it outside, but we probably need to. But just make sure you keep your hands washed and look out for the older people. Brother Kylie, this building has not been the same without you, buddy. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Brother Kylie, where he's sitting at this moment, that didn't exist when he first started coming to church here. Brother Tom, the building was like this. The door was right there, and that was a wall. And the pulpit was right here, and the piano was right here, and the little seats, theater seats, were right here. That wasn't a door there. That was in 1971. So we've come a long way from there, and we love each and every one of you. So let's turn in our Bibles. I think that's about got it. To Corinthians. We've been speaking on the book of Esther. We might get finished today. If we don't, we'll finish next Sunday. I love the book of Esther. It's one of the greatest books in the Bible because I can see my journey. I can see all the characters just as we did in the book of Ruth. We can see those characters, but we're going to read in Corinthians 10 verse 11 to get an example. I'm sorry, First Corinthians. They'll pull it up on the screen here in just a second. But we'll have it probably if we get finished. I told Brother Dale the other day, or yesterday, we were talking about stuff. And I want to try to go back over the feast days again. So if you want to kind of get your mind wrapped around that a little bit, because the feast days are to Israel. We know that for a fact. But it does have implications to you and I because it's the spiritual part. There's seven feast days that actually fits just like all these Book of Esther, Book of Ruth, all these were given for example. Those feast days were not just for Israel only because we're spiritual Israel. We have a Passover. We have a first fruits. We have a, right? We have a ingathering. We have a Day of Atonement. But you see, we don't have a day. When Jesus come, he said it's not a day now. The day of the Lord is not one day. It's a period of time. And we know for a fact that the first four feasts were fulfilled by Jesus Christ, but the other three feasts have to be fulfilled by the bride. Okay? So we'll get into that. And those first four feasts were in April and May in the different places. And then now the last three feasts are going to be in like around October. So we'll see how that God will show us something if we'll pay attention. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 10, sorry to keep you standing, but it'll keep you awake a little bit longer. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the testimony that we can give of somebody like Brother Colley and different ones that's been here, Lord, for 40 some odd years, Lord, and standing at the post of duty and to see them back again, Lord, it's just it's like I was thinking the other day. It's just like David when the Ark of the Covenant was in a different country and God told him to go get it and bring it back to Israel. My, he danced. He danced the dance. He was so happy. And Lord, I'm so happy to see your bride coming back together, this church coming back together and fulfilling the passage of Scripture that says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with us today in a special way, not be a bystander, but Lord, be the active participant in this service. You do the speaking, you do the revealing, Father. We pray that you'd just be with us, give us strength, bless the ones that are sick, give the missionaries, Lord, in the foreign fields, give them fruit for their labor, Father. Bless your little bride all around the world. And Lord, I ask again, Lord, that you stay this plague that's all over the world, Lord, that because now truly the whole world is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We pray that you'd be with us now in the furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to get, if you don't get anything else, get one thing for sure. Everything that was written, everything that was done, everything that was portrayed out in these people was for your benefit and mine. Not the nominal world, not anybody out there. Yes, they're going to be a cause and effect of what's going on. We see that now. But everything in this Bible was written for me and you, for our example, all right? Let's go to the very last scripture to save time. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. He's talking about Moses and all the different ones. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now how specific is that? Because the Corinthians were not looking at the end of the world. We are. We're looking right at the end of the world. It's already begun. The end has begun. You may be seated. And the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, if you'll, just for a little background for Brother Tom and Sister Rebecca, just for a second. We've been going through the journey of Abraham. We've been going through the journey of Ruth. But we've titled this The Journey of a Believer, and we're on part 13. And we noticed that in these journeys, we see four parts. In each one of the journeys, we see the four parts, and we put them up here because the prophet of God told us, he said, even in when he was preaching the future home, he said, I've taught the three works of grace since a child, and I've not deviated one iota. So we must believe as believers, we must believe in the three works of grace, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not that you believe this message. The devil believes it. He just can't manifest it. You and I can. But then also remember, we come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the new birth, and we see that that's what's required, and that's what's been required down through the church ages until this age. No one has been required to take a body change. To go from mortal to immortal. While they're on the earth. So we see that there was a fourth stage. We know that if we look at your types, and we're going to see in the book of Esther, threes and sevens. But we know there's a four comes in there, and then a lot of people, the four is an Antichrist number. But you've got to bring into redemption that if the four beasts or four bugs eat the tree down, as in the bride tree, Brother Brown said what? It was a pommel worm, canker, caterpillar, and locust ate the tree down. There had to be four life messengers bring that tree back up. And we know the four combat beasts or the four messengers were the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. So we see that it's this eagle age is where we're in. So we can go higher. We can be, I don't say more revelated, but we've got more word available to us. Because we're required to go up this statue of a perfect man. It's not a suggestion. Like the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are not a suggestion. They're a requirement. So as we come to the end time, Brother Brown did not come to bring us a new birth. He did not. He can't bring us anything outside the Bible. Amen. So he brought us what was already, what had been hid down through the ages, through the times, and man, our own ideas had covered it up. And then now you come up to the end time and you say, well, it's just believing the message. No, it's not. It's making that word live in your life. It's making that message live in your heart. But we believe, according to the prophet's message, that we don't stop here. It's like a brand new baby. You got a brand new baby? Oh, it's wonderful. The baby's alive. The baby's crying. The baby's drinking milk. But all of a sudden you take that baby, prettiest baby in the world, and put that baby in a closet somewhere. It's still a baby. It's still a human. But if you don't feed it, it's going to die. If you don't feed it, it will die, I'll promise you. So that's what God wants us to do in the end time, because even through the journey of Abraham, we see all these positions, because you come to justification where what? Abraham had to make a decision. God called many people, but Abraham responded and said, I'll go. All right? Same way with me and you. Same way with Ruth. Right in Ruth's first part, she had to make a decision. There was Orpha and there was Ruth. Ruth, a type of the bride. Orpha, a type of the denominational church, because she didn't go on with God. She went what? Back to her old denominational world. But Ruth decided, Abraham or Abram decided, You and I must decide. It's still free moral agency, folks. It's not just that you are a Christian and it just drops on top of your head. Why did the Bible say this was all given for our example? Especially to the ones that the end of the world is come upon. So we see that Brother Branham taught us all these three stages. We see Abram and Abraham coming through this stage, Ruth serving, going through the harvest and gleaning what? Gleaning what the preacher's left for.
Right. Yeah.
Amen? Then you see that, now remember, we come to this spot here and we see that Abraham come to a place to where God accepted his faith. Remember we read those quotes. God accepted Abram's faith, turned him a new name, gave him the name Abraham, and then he circumcised himself, but he was circumcised as a type of God accepting his faith,
right.
Type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Same thing with you and I. We have to have this circumcised, the circumcision of our heart. But now remember, Abraham had one more step. So did Ruth. Ruth was resting. Ruth, Boaz comes up. He takes his shoe off. He said, I have bought.
Right.
I have bought Naomi's possession. And he gets Ruth, right? All right, so there's three stages. But we see there's one more. Because remember, there was a marriage and a conception. There was a marriage and a conception. They had a baby, Isaac. But 12 years later, God brought Abraham to a place and said, now, take that boy up and kill him. He wanted to see and place him, just like we're placed now in adoption, same way with Ruth. What was Ruth rewarded with? Ruth was rewarded with Boaz being her husband and them having a child and taking that child and giving it to Naomi. Amen? Same way with you and I. You and I must what? Well, it's great to be born again. It's great to be under the power of the Holy Ghost. But God wants a mature Christian. He wants somebody with some maturity. He don't want to have to bottle feed us. This church's not been bottle fed. God didn't give me these teeth up here to chew milk with. He gave me incisors and he gave me canines to chew meat with. Amen? So that's what we have here. We're meat eaters. I love the meat of the word. Amen? I love the meat of the word. Because it's in our journey. It's a continuation. Then God give us the Holy Ghost, which had all four of the combat beasts, the lion, ox, man, and the eagle. So where's the eagle? The eagle's higher than anywhere else. Any other animal, if you look and see, as we've always said before, the lion is very strong, very powerful, but he's only about this tall.
Yeah.
If he gets in grass about this tall, Brother Tommy can't see very far.
Right.
But yet he's powerful.
Right.
That was the same, that was what the word was. The word was powerful in the first three church ages,
right.
But they just couldn't see any further. The ox was what? A little bit taller, but he didn't eat things. He was a what? He's a beast of burden. Through the dark ages, he was a beast of burden.
Right.
All right. Then the man, here we are standing a little bit taller and we got more intelligence. Everybody got me?
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
But the eagle can go high and look this way, this way, this way, and this way. They look higher than any other animal.
Right.
You can't go any higher than that.
Right.
So here we are in the eagle age. And we see that we've come to a place that, let's go ahead and skip all the way through to, if you want to follow with me in the book of Esther, you can take your book out, or you can go ahead and pull up Esther where it says king. Because each one has, there's a character, we know that, there's a character in each one of these, where Ruth was the bride, Orpha was the denominational church, the old Jewish church was Naomi, and Boaz type Christ. Everybody got that? Say amen. Should have, because we've already been through this. All right. But see, the book of Esther is the same way. There's a king involved, and this king's not just the king of Rhode Island. He's not just the king of Lula, Georgia. This king rules from India all the way to Asia.
Asia Minor, all the way across over into Rome and all the different places of the Medes and Persians. So this king was a mighty king. King Ahasuerus, he was not just, like I said, he wasn't just somebody that just, well, you know, who are you? No, everybody knew who he was. So that king we're going to type in the book of Esther, that king typed the king himself. King Jesus, King God, whatever you want to call him. Esther then is going to type the bride of Jesus Christ. Vashti is going to type the church. We know that. Because what did she do? She refused. Furthermore, the word. Then Mordecai is a little man. And he's going to portray a prophet that comes into the scene. And he has a very, very huge impact on Esther. All right? And her development. And then we have Haman, which is the devil. And we're going to look at Haman. Even Haman's natural lineage takes him back to that. So let's go to the book of Esther and let's read a few things, and we're going to fly through this pretty good because we had it last weekend. Because it's rather a long story simply because you got so many players. And you know what? Our journey is not a microwave journey.
Right.
It's a crock pot.
Amen.
It's a long journey. We've been in this thing a long time. And you know what? God's let it go this long. Zach Black says, thank you, God. Yep. Sister Nyla says, thank you, God. She's back here shaking her head now. We've just baptized these young people. We baptized about 6 or 7 or 8 people since the first of the year. Well, we've come to a place now to where we got the 11th hour people on the field. I believe we have all the players here. I believe God's over there raising 144,000 right now.
Right.
Waiting on us to get out of the way.
Right.
So what are we doing here? We're waiting on my kids and your kids.
Right.
Amen. You gotta claim that.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Claim it. So here we are. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. Now, this is the king. Now watch. This is the king who reigned from India to Ethiopia over 127 provinces. Like I said, he wasn't just the king of Lula, Georgia with 200 residents. He impacted millions of people. All right. By the decisions that he made. Then on those days when the king of Ahasuerus sat on the throne of the kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace. In other words, he had a place. In the third year of his reign, he made a feast. Here we go with the threes and the sevens. In his third year, why wasn't it 2? Or 4? Or 9? It's 3. In the third year of his reign, he made a feast. What is a feast? It's a gathering unto all princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media and the nobles. In other words, this guy had a lot of power. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom, verse 4, the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 180 days, Lord mercy, that's a long time. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people. I've lost you. You need to keep scrolling. Okay. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small. As we said before, it didn't matter, great and small. And the feast was 7 days. We've had a 7-day feast. The king called a feast on the day of Pentecost. And it's gone for 7 church ages. And what's happening during this time, we are at the very end of it. Amen? In the court of the garden of the king's palace, we're white and green, blue. Look at all the different colors of the different things. Purple, silver, verse 7, and gave them drinks in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another. The vessels being diverse, but made of gold. You and I were gold, tried in the fire, but we're diverse. I was telling Brother Tom, we got many nations that are represented here, countries that are represented in this congregation. Well, God's calling all of us. And what has he given us? He's given us the royal wine, wine being a type of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
All right? In abundance. He didn't just pour it one time. Right? In abundance. according to the state of the king. So here you got a king, and this king has made a feast for 7 days, and he's got this thing going on, and you know what he wants to do? He's got a queen over there. He's got a queen over there, and he wants to show her off.
Right.
Amen. He wants to show her off.
Right.
Okay? But what did that queen do? That queen is Vashti.
Yeah, right.
He hadn't got to the one that he really didn't know he was looking for. Right. See, God's not that way. He knows, but this king didn't know. So look at verse 9. Also Vashti, which means beautiful. Hey, look, John admired that church
right.
in the book of Revelations. He admired
right.
that beautiful church that was full of what? Dead man's bone. Harlots. And all these different things. So, but Vashti, the queen, made her a feast. In a royal house which belonged to the king. So there's Vashti setting up another meeting. Here's God. He's got his purpose. He's got his seven church ages. He's got his seven angels. He's got his seven stars in his hand. He's got his seven spirits that come to anoint that church age. And then all of a sudden, his bride that he thought was very loyal, she said, I don't want to have anything to do with that. The prophet of God tells us that she said, King, I'm not going to do what you say anymore. Now, isn't that what the denomination world are doing now? God never taught them a trinity. God never taught them they could cut their hair. God never taught them they could do whatever they wanted to do. Amen? So where did that come from? That didn't come from the king. But Vashti gets this idea that she's going to be her own. She's going to do her own thing. Now, doesn't that sound like the people today? I'll do my own thing. Remember in the Bible it tells us that in the end time that seven women will take hold of one man and say, don't tell us what to do, but we want your name. Well, see, they want the name Jesus Christ, but they don't know the name Jesus Christ like Brother Dale's talking about. An intimate relationship with God. And Vashti at one time had an intimate relationship with the king. But she decided that she wasn't going to have anything else to do. She's going to have her own.
Yeah.
And on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded, as we were talking last Sunday, it's not funny, but the word is so perfect. Look, Maman, Bitha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagath, Zatar. And what's the last one? Carcass.
Right.
Where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered.
Right.
Carcass, number seven. He wasn't five or four. He was seven.
Right.
The seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king. Now, what were they? They were his advisors.
Yeah.
Preachers.
Yeah.
Everybody got that?
Right.
To bring Vashti the queen. In other words, go out and preach the gospel. Tell the people about this queen. Because he's going to say, go bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen, Vashti, refused. Now listen, if you refuse a king, normally that's death. You don't refuse to come into a king. If a king calls for you, there's two things you don't do. You don't go see a king unless he calls you. And you don't not go if he calls you. So what she's now, because what are the denominational world now? They're dead. They're dead to God. They're dead to their king.
Amen?
I'm just telling you what the prophet told us. He hated that. God hates that denomination. He don't hate the people, but he hates that idea. What? The idea that they can do what they want to do. That they've got a Vashti that's going to refuse to come to the king's commandment by his what? His preachers.
Yeah.
Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Verse 13, then the king said to the wise men which knew the times. For so was the... This king had it together. He had seven chamberlain, and he had seven advisors.
Right.
Now, watch who these advisors are. Then the king said to the wise men which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshina, Sethar. Now look, here we go. 1, 2, Admatha 3, Tarshish 4, Meres 5, Mereseneth, and Mamukan. Mamukan, these messengers, Mamukan means dignified, but watch what the whole story is. There's six other opportunities for somebody to come up with an idea, because the king's got a dilemma. Here's his beautiful queen that he's trying to show off to the world, and she's saying, I don't want to have anything to do with the king. So he's calling these wise men and saying, hey, what can I do? And the one that speaks up is number seven.
Yeah.
Not the first one or the third one or the tenth one. There's no tenth one. But seven, watch. The seven princes of the Persians of Media, which saw the king's face and which set the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto Queen Vashti according to the law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king of Sorts by the chamberlain? And then here number seven, Mamukan, answered before the king and the prince and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but to all the provinces.
Right.
You know why? Because that mother whore has got daughters.
Oh, yeah.
Amen? That mother whore's got daughters. And them daughters are going to listen to Vashti.
Yeah.
And if they don't do something, the whole kingdom's going to say, we don't need a man.
Right.
We don't need headship.
Right.
That's what the denominational world are telling.
Right.
They don't need headship.
Right.
And Mamukan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the provinces, to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king of Sorus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women. What's a woman type of? Churches. So that they shall despise their what? Their headship. They've despised the headship of the word. When it shall be reported, the king of Sorus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. So they've got a dilemma. So Mamukan comes up with this idea, because watch. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which has heard of the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath.
Right.
The whole country's going to be affected. If it pleases the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes,
right,
that it be not altered.
Amen.
1,100 sermons,
right,
sent to all the provinces, that Vashti come no more. Listen, when that seventh angel messenger hit the earth, he condemned that denomination system and says she's dead and never will come back again. That's the same thing this guy's telling them. Mamukan is saying, look, this is what we need to do. That Vashti come no more before King Assuris, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. Now listen, you and I are not better than the world, but if you're the bride of Jesus Christ, you're the best.
Amen.
There is none compared to you.
Right.
Everybody okay?
Amen.
That Vashti come no more. In other words, cut her off. And let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all his empire. 1,100 sermons published. And given all over the world. All the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to the great and small. What did the prophet of God come to do? He came just like Elijah come to restore the method of worship.
Amen.
Remember what Elijah did? They jumped up and down on the altar and they spread it out everywhere. And here comes Elijah setting them stones back together. Same way with the prophet of God. He come to set everything back in order,
right,
plus.
Right.
Plus. Everybody got that? Because remember, the messenger of Malachi 4 is to do two things. Restore the hearts of the children to the fathers and bring those unknown mysteries that nobody ever looked upon. What? To change our body. That's to get us at the top at the headstone. Because what's going to happen is, in this story, if we ever get finished with it, in this story, you've got this girl. She's not even on the scene yet. Esther's not even here yet. Sure, she's there. She's alive. She's walking around somewhere out in the world. But this queen has been replaced by Esther as we continue into the story. And then when we get to the end of the story, you don't even see the king anymore. Esther's doing all the ruling with Mordecai. So what a wonderful story. I mean, it ought to thrill your heart.
Amen.
That this was done for me and you. So that we can look at that and say, God, you worked through that whole life, that whole scene of Esther. Because remember, Esther was not an original book that they were going to put in the Bible. The scholars wanted it put in because it typed so much of Christ and the Jews and not letting them die and all these different things. So it was given to me, though, so that I can look at it. Because look, the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. What a powerful word this man had. For he sent messages into all the king's province, into every province according to the writing thereof. And look, and every person after their own language. It was recorded in all different languages. This must be a pretty important message. That every man should bear rule in his own house. What did Brother Branham restore? He restored headship, folks. Headship is what was lost down through the church ages. He restored the headship back to the church. And every man should rule in his own house. And that it should be published according to the language. In other words, none is going to be left out. Everybody's going to get this spreading of this message, this seventh messenger that spoke to the king. Thank God we had a messenger. Thank God we had somebody. We're going to see in a minute. We're going to see Mordecai now come on the scene. Esther chapter 2. And after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that minister unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. And let the king appoint officers in all the province of his kingdom. He's looking for a bride. So he's going to appoint preachers. Not a onefold. Not a press play. But a fivefold ministry. That God's going to work through flesh again to find his bride. That may hurt your feelings, but it needs to be, I guess, if you believe that. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair virgins. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Haggai, the king's chamberlain. Now, here's a guy that's a eunuch. It's a man that keeps up with the women, but he's been fixed where he can't. You understand what I mean? I don't have to go any further than that. All right? But you know what that word means? If you dig deeper, your overlying meaning is a different meaning. But if you look it up a little bit deeper, that word or that name means the word. So how better are we going to find a bride than through the word?
Right.
Keeper of the what? What are women? Churches, brides. And let their things for purification be given them. Verse 4, and let the maiden which pleaseth the king. Now look, this is God. You got to go with me here for a minute. You see what God's doing? He's giving this responsibility. This king is giving that responsibility over to his people. The seven chamberlains and the different ones he's giving. You say, well, what about, listen folks. Brother Branham said, he said, God never does tire of you telling him what his word says.
Right, man.
He knows what it says. He knows what you're going to do, but he wants you to speak it. That's where we all get involved.
Right.
Sisters, brothers, and all of us.
Right.
And let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. Right. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan the palace there was a certain Jew. Now watch, here we come. This guy named Mordecai. Now those of you who've been around the message long enough, you ought to know who the Mordecai means, a little man. His literal meaning of his name is, and I can't remember what number it is in the Greek lexicon, but his name was Mordecai, which means little man. We had a little man come in the end time. And this little man is going to guide this bride to the king. Now what did Brother Brown do? He guided the bride to the king. Now when she shone in the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shammai, the son of Kish, a Benjaminite. But now, this is not funny, but you know what? You know where Kish came from, don't you? Who was Kish's son? Saul. You say, how can you type that lineage? Anybody ever know what Brother Brown's family was like? Drunks. Alcoholics. Brother Brown said died with the boots on. Not much to be. You understand what I'm saying? So this guy that we're typing with Mordecai, he couldn't have this great lineage. He had to be the end of the type of Brother Branham. He had to be a son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had carried away. Now remember, Mordecai, if you'll remember the story that we told a long time ago, some of the Jews in the dispersal stayed in Jerusalem. A lot of them came out and went to this place because that was where the Jews still liked the money. That's where the money was under these Medes and Persians. They were carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up this girl. Now remember, she had a name called Hadassah. Hadassah was her Jewish name. But she got a name change. Amen? She got a name change. Now remember what Esther means. We know Esther means star. But do you know what Hadassah means? Hadassah means myrtle. Myrtle, tree, myrtle. So if you look in Leviticus 23:33, myrtle is used under the Feast of Tabernacles. What are we feasting under now? Brother Dale told you this morning. Under the Feast of Tabernacles. All right. So then you say, well, what are you saying? I'm saying this Esther is not just an Esther of all the bride. This Esther is an end time bride. This Esther is somebody that me and you can relate to. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither what? Father nor mother. She had no ties, supposedly no ties to the world. When you become Esther, do you have any ties to the world? No. I know it's hard, Esther. Every time I say Esther, she turns and looked at me. Because this is an Esther here. We've got an Esther Martinez and Esther, wherever she is. But every time I say something, Esther looked over at me. So anyway, Esther up here. Okay. Esther is uncle's daughter. She had neither father or mother. The maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. In other words, he took her in because she had a mother and a father and they died. So he took her in. And he raised her as her own daughter, as his own daughter. Listen, folks, this prophet in the end time, people can say whatever they want to about him. I really don't care. But he was sent on this earth to get me to Jesus Christ. He was sent to raise me right. He was sent to show me what to do. And that's what that Mordecai did, because that girl, Esther, had no direction. She had no father, no mother, no sisters, no brothers. So Mordecai comes on the scene and says, hey, I'll take you in. I'll help you out. I'll get you to the king. Amen. That's our goal. Because listen, if we'll look in the rest of the story, there's thousands. thousands of virgins. Literally thousands of virgins that the king could have picked. Thousands. But he picked her. Why? Because I'll show it to you in just a second. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace to the custody of Haggai. Because who raises us? Now see, William Branham didn't raise us, folks. You know that. The word's what raised us. But he spoke the word through, God spoke through Brother Branham to give us a word to live by. Amen. That Esther was brought also into the king's house to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained, look, she didn't come in and say, bless God, I'm the only one. I'm the only one in this place. You got to look at me. No, she comes in, she obtains kindness of him. Of who? Haggai. She don't even know the king yet. And he speedily gave her things for purification. What's purifying you and I today? The word of God is what's purifying us to this day. With such things as belong to her. And give her 7 maidens. Which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maidens unto the best place of the house of the women. But now look, Esther had a secret. Esther had a secret. Esther was a Jew. Esther had a secret. But Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred. For Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. So Mordecai is saying, look, you're a Jew. I know you're different. But just hang on a little while because you're going to need that difference in just a little while for something coming up. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did. He didn't come up one day and say, all right, Esther, there's the king. I'll see you later. No, he brought us sermon after sermon and years of labor. Amen. To bring me and you. And thank God they put it in book and tape form so that we still got it.
Right.
And this Mordecai's with us today in word form, telling us what to do and how to get to the king. To know how Esther did and what became of her.
Right.
Now, when every maid's turn was come in to go to the king, Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months. Look, this is not, like I said, this is not a crock pot journey. I mean, this is not a microwave journey. This is a crock pot journey. 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purification. And if you'll study this, we don't have time to go through it. I studied it not too long ago. Well, several years ago. Because 6 months, they would wash you 6 months in oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors. You'd think by then they smell good after a year of that. But there's an implication of that, but we'll not go into it for save time. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given to her. Now here's the key. With her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In other words, Haggai comes and says, what do you need? I want this beautiful dress with where's my wife at? With glitter on it. My wife hates glitter. Glitter and all this stuff real shiny so that it'll catch the attention of the king. Cause remember, it's not just a few women, it's hundreds, it's thousands of women trying to get the attention of the king. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given to her to go out with her out of the house of the women into the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women to the custody of Sheshgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. Now look, they were all concubines at one time. All right? She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her and had to call her by name. God sent a prophet and he says, now I call you bride.
Right.
Now you have a name. Now when the turn of Esther, now look at me just a minute. A king has looked at 1,000 women. Must have had a pretty good memory to remember all of them. But when he meets one, all the others go away. He probably remembered this one had a dress on that had glitter, and this one had feathers in her hair, and this one that had makeup on their face, and this one that had earrings. Brother Branham tells us about that. But when it come Esther's turn, all she took was who she was. She took her character into that room with the king. Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abigail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his own daughter, was come to go into the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, in other words, the word. She clothed herself with the word. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that looked on her. Hadn't got to the king yet. So Esther was taken into King Ahasuerus, unto King Ahasuerus, into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year, not 4, not 2, 7th. The 7th year of his reign, he finally meets the bride that he's been looking for. She don't have on no makeup. She don't have on a pantsuit. Amen? She don't have Brother Ram called them ear bobs. She don't have ear bobs hanging off her ear. And look what happened. He instantly falls in love with her.
Amen.
I'm going to read you a quote right here. I picked it. They don't have it back there. Brother Branham said in The Marriage of the Lamb, real quick, Esther was to become a bride, but she didn't want none of the adorning of the world. She wanted to go in to the king just like she was. She adorned themselves like the Pentecostal women ought to, with a meek, humble spirit. And when all these fancy first ladies came by with all their newfangled things, and the king looked at them and put them in the chamber with the concubines. But when this Esther came into his sight, he got a glimpse of that sweet, humble, meek spirit. He said, that's her. Go get the crown. Go get the crown and put it on her head. That's how quick. When God sees a Holy Ghost filled woman, when God sees a true bride, he don't mess around. He said, she's mine. She's mine. Thank you for pulling that up. That's okay. So Esther was taken into King Ahasuerus, into his house, the 10th month, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Yeah. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, and it became not the king's feast. It became Esther's feast. It became his bride's feast. He was going to put his bride on display because he had found the right one. He had found the right person. Even Esther's feast. And he made a release. And that word release in the original is rest. Hey, listen, when you find your bride, you're not looking no more. When you find your bride, you're not looking no more. You come to a rest. And he made a rest to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. Now watch. Real quick. I got all this written down in my Bible. Excuse me. Now look. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Now, if you look back in your history, the king's gate was right at the king's palace. Now, you couldn't go in unless the king called you. But you were so close, you could hear what was going on inside the palace. That remind you of something? This prophet in the end time, he wasn't out there sitting in the bar room. He wasn't out there sitting somewhere else. He was sitting right at the king's gate. He had a connection to God like no one else. But now he didn't use it for his own glory. Mordecai, everything he heard, he told Esther. Everything he heard, he told Esther. Yeah. Same way with Brother Branham. Thank God he couldn't keep a secret. Yeah. Amen?
Right.
Now look, and when the virgins were gathered together, the second time, Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Now look, here's Esther. Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, so they didn't know she was a Jew. As Mordecai had charged her, for Esther did the commandment of Mordecai. Watch this. Like as when she was brought up with him. She did what her prophet told her to do. Amen? She was loyal. She was sweet. She was humble. She didn't say, bless God. You need to attend to me. I ain't got no mom or daddy. No, she wasn't that way. She listened to Mordecai just like she listened to her own mom and daddy. Do we? Do we? Do we listen? Oh, we want to listen to what we want to listen to. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains. Now look, this Mordecai guy, he's pretty sharp. And he gets revelation. Because he can hear where me and you can't hear. That's what a prophet does, right? He hears from God and then he gives it to us, right? Amen? So he hears this plan of these two guys that want to kill the king. And the thing was known to Mordecai. And Mordecai did what? Mordecai got a revelation from God that something was going to happen. And he tells Esther. Because Esther can go see the king. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made, in other words, this is a natural story, it was found out, therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. So here this Mordecai guy, he's right there at the king's gate. He gets to hear what? Revelation from God. Revelation from the king. Now look, Esther 3. Now this guy's coming into being here. His name is Haman. Now there's a little bit of history behind Haman because everybody's got a lineage. So Haman is the evil guy. He's the type of the devil in this whole story. Everybody got that? And after these things, did King Assuerus promote Haman? Now you're wondering where this is going, but look. If you'll go to, I had it written down somewhere. If you'll go to, I think it's Ezekiel. Ezekiel, God's talking to the devil and he says, I made you perfect. I put you above all the anointed cherubs. I put you above everybody. And that's what this king just did. He promoted Haman. Now Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite. Now, if you'll remember back in your Bible, the Agites, in 1 Samuel 15, it was one of those kings that Saul didn't kill. Everybody got that? But that lineage of Haman comes from Amalek, the grandson of Esau. And what did God tell Moses and all Joshua to do? He said, kill every Amalekite.
Right.
Because remember, Israel wanted to go through the country in their exile or in their exodus, the Amalekites wouldn't let them go through their land. So God said, kill them all. Get rid of them. No more today will I have anything to do with the Amalekites. Well, that's where this guy Haman came from. This is where the devil come from. The devil's got a lineage. He was created perfect, but he decided. He made a decision too, but it didn't. He tried to justify himself. He didn't get justified. And advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman. But now watch this. For the king had so commanded concerning him, but Mordecai bowed not. You know why? Mordecai knew his lineage. Mordecai knew his natural lineage. He knew where Haman came from. He came from that Amalekite that Mordecai said, God told me never to bow to them people. So he didn't. And listen, the prophet of God, many times the devil would come. Remember, the devil came and said, oh, your religion, what's going on? You know, God's taking your kid and taking your wife. And what's going on here, prophet? He never bowed to the devil.
Right.
And Mordecai never either. Nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? He never answered them. He didn't have to. He knew in his heart he wasn't going to bow to that Amalek lineage. Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see where the Mordecai's matter would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai, which is what? The Jews. Listen, the devil hates the Jews.
Right.
The devil has persecuted the Jews forever.
Right.
And when Mordecai, they had showed unto him the people of Mordecai, wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Assyrus, even the people of Mordecai. I've always said before, you look at that spirit that was on Haman. That spirit that was on Haman, when Haman died, that spirit went right over to the next, to AD 70 and Titus. Then when Titus died, that went right over to where? Hitler and Mussolini and all the different ones. Because that spirit never dies. Because Haman is now, he hates the Jews because of Mordecai. He hates the Jews and he wants to get rid of all of them. Everybody got that? Now look. We'll do this. We'll get to this certain spot right here and then we'll stop. So look what's going on here. You got Haman, which is type of the devil. In the first month, that's the month Nisan of the 12th year of King Assyrus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day, and from month to month to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. And Haman said unto the king Assyrus, there is a certain people. There's a certain people that I hate. Because God's going to allow, what's God always allowed the devil to do? Drive his people back to their homeland. Because Israel at this point in time, Israel is not in their homeland, not all of them. So he's going to use the poor old devil to get everybody back in their homeland. Just like right now, look at them. Over there now, same thing. And Haman said unto King Assyrus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces. Isn't that what happened to the Jews? After AD 70 was what? Dispersed all over the world. But remember, God's not going to deal with them until they get back in their homeland. All right, so watch this. And their laws are diverse. They go by that Old Testament. Huh? They go by that Old Testament. We don't go by that no more, Haman said. All right, look, but and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's law. Oh, my goodness. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them or let them live. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver. The devil's always got the money in his hand. To the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and he gave it to Haman. Now wait a minute. We got a problem here. God's taking his ring off and he's giving power to Haman. Where does that come from? Revelations chapter 6. Power was given. Power was given. Satan has no power. He had to have power given. Power was given unto the devil to do these things.
Right.
Power was given unto Haman to do these things.
Right.
He was the enemy of the Jews. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee and the people also to do with them at what seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants. And to the governors that were over every province, to the rulers of every people of every province. In other words, Satan's sending his message out too. Everybody got that? He's sending his message out. Listen, the devil hates our ways. The devil hates us. We have diverse ways. We have ways that are different from the world. And Satan hates that. Why? He loves all that out there. He hates us when we do the things that God tells us to do.
Amen.
So he hates these natural people. But now watch what happened. And the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Assuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and cause to perish. Because you know what? The letter killeth. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. Both young, he's going to destroy all Jews, young and old, little children, women, in one day. It's going to be on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The copy of the writings, because look, if we don't do what God says, this thing right here is going to kill us. And you know what? The devil's going to use this to kill us with it. Is the devil going to use nasty words and all the different things out there to kill us with? No, he's going to take this right here and say, ah, you're okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. You come to church when you want to. Listen to the prophet when you want to. It really doesn't matter. Just make sure you read your Bible. Do your little devotion every day. That's not what God wants. He wants a living word. The copy of the writings for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all the people that they should be ready against that day. The post went out being hastened by the king's commandment, and a decree was given in Shushan the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. Now we're going to stop right there because it's 3:30. I'm not going to go any further because we got communion to take and a meeting. So we've come up this far and we've got Mordecai. We've got Esther and Mordecai coming together. We've got the bride and the prophet together. Yep. Now we've got the devil involved. All right, we got the devil involved. And what's going to happen is this is the whole key to it. Because God can't change this right here.
Right. Amen.
God can't change his word. Right? You'll either live by it or die by it.
Right.
Can't change it. Well, that's right. What happens on into this story. Because what they're going to do is they're going to tell the king that Haman is going to destroy this whole Jewish kingdom. And the king looks at him and says, I can't change my word. That was the whole kingdom of the Medes and Persians. When the Medes and Persians came into power, when the word of the king was written, it could not be altered. This word can't be altered. There's going to be billions of people that die because of this right here. And go to hell. But to me and you, we know what it is. It's the living word.
Glory.
Well, that's what's going to happen when we come to this place where the king says, I can't change. But you know what he done? He gave them a chance to defend themselves.
Right.
He gives us a chance to defend ourselves.
Glory.
What did he give us? He gave the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The real. Victor is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Can't change the word, Brother Donnie. But he sure can let you defend yourself by this word of God right here. That's going to kill people. But the king's going to say, look, there's nothing I can do. And you're going to see in the story a little bit later, this is the great part of the story, that Esther was not called by the king. So you can't go in to see the king without the king calling you. Certain death. But Esther says, if I die, I die. If I live, I live. I'm going in to see that king because my people are going to die. And what happens when she walks into the room? She took her character into that room. And Sister Frieda, there's no way that king was going to kill her. He was so happy to see her. He said, whatever you want. And listen, folks, that's what God's telling us today. Whatever you want.
Right.
Not to half my kingdom or a third. King of kings.
Right.
Lord of lords.
Amen.
That's wonderful. She is him.
Amen.
And it's not what I said, Brother Ray. That's what God said.
Right.
I'm just telling you what God said.
Amen.
That the bride of Jesus Christ, I was thinking about that this morning, when Brother Dale said, King, King, Lord of Lords. Go all the way back to the book of Genesis before the fall.
Right.
Eve didn't have a name. Her name was Adam. It wasn't an uppercase and a lowercase.
No.
That hadn't happened yet.
Right.
But what? To restore back.
Glory.
To restore back in redemption. It's right. King of Kings. My bride is back again.
Right.
And not just back again sitting with twiddling our thumbs. Right. No. Power and authority has been given to me and you by the word of God. Let's stand to our feet. Musicians come and we'll just sing a song, give somebody an opportunity to come, and then Brother Dale will come and we'll take communion. We're going to take communion here and downstairs, so be reverent. Love you with the love of the Lord. We thank you for all the people, all that we do. We've assembled a wonderful group of people. I was thinking about it yesterday. God will give you the desire of your heart. Isn't that right? And he's the only one that knows your heart. But if you'll have, Brother Boyd, if you'll have the desire of your heart to want to come to church, regardless of the virus, regardless of all these different whatever, he'll know the desire of your heart. He knows that sometimes you just want to show up, or you don't want to show up. But he knows the deep desire of the heart. And the deep desire, there's the other Esther. And the other desire of his heart is, he knows the desire of your heart. That king, when you get over into this story, you see Esther, there comes another Esther. You see Esther coming on the scene, and you see the king backing off. And that's what I love about that story. It's not that the king, but you know what? That makes the king greater because he's got a queen that has his mind. They don't have to quarrel about things. When she says it, Adam named the animals. Well, that looks like a lion. Brother Tom, God didn't go, nah, that's not a lion. No, he said, that's exactly what I was thinking. That's exactly what I was thinking. Why? Because they had the same mind. That's what you and I have to have what? We don't need a heart change, heart as in the thumping thing. We need a change up here. This is where the change begins. In the womb of your mind is where that change begins. And the womb of Adam's mind had not been polluted yet. So him and God were just like this. I love what Brother Brown said. He said, God and Adam and Eve standing in the Garden of Eden was true oneness. See, that's what we got to get back to. Now we look at it and we go, well, there's three people standing there if we're an observer. But if you got a revelation, Adam is the son of God. Eve came from Adam. There's only one standing there.
Right.
And that's the same way as what getting back to King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He made us that. Don't ever try to justify yourself.
Right.
Let's sing a song and then we'll have communion.
I love you, Lord.
Pray for Brother Bob on Wednesday. Thank God we can have communion. And thank God next weekend we can do what we're going to do. Remember Bible study. Look on your calendar. Bible study's next Saturday. We'll separate out. I know it gets full in there, but we'll do something. We'll open the doors and we'll go sit outside if it's not so bad hot, right?
Yeah.
We'll go sit outside under the canopy out here if it's not so hot. Amen. So we'll do something.
Amen.
I love the zeal of us wanting to come to church. Y'all almost fight for your seats. Thank God for that. Some seats don't get wore out enough. I love you, Lord. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Love you, Lord. And I live my voice.
to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King.
Let's get our hearts and minds clear now for the communion.
In what you hear, oh may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Sing it one more time.
No
musicians.
Oh, I love you, Lord.
Let me hear you.
And I lift my voice.
Hallelujah.
To worship you.
Let me hear you.
Oh, my soul.
Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound. All minds and hearts clear. God bless you. We love you. Brother Dale, come. We'll, like I said, we'll be giving communion both places, downstairs and here. So we'll have him, the order that we go in is Brother Dale will read the scripture, and then he'll pray over the wine and the bread. Then everybody gets delivered the wine and the bread, and then we all partake together after everybody gets served, okay? So God bless you. Love you with the love of the Lord. Keep praying for us. And when you read the Bible, put yourself in there.
Man.
When I read that about Esther, I think, man, that king loves me. He chose me before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And when I go into him, he don't go, I don't want to see you no more. No, he says, oh, what a joy.
Right.
Listen, folks, he's been waiting 2,000 years to look at us. Face to face. And we're coming up on that, Sister Toots, real quick. Real quick, where we'll meet him face to face. And we'll go sit somewhere for 3.5 years and let God do what he needs to do here. And then we'll come right back here, as Brother Dale said. We're going to ride into that millennium. And we're going to be on a honeymoon.
Amen.
We ain't got to work. We ain't got to toil. We ain't got to struggle. We're not going to do anything. We're just there in a wonderful honeymoon. We don't know even know. We don't even know how to build a temple. The Jews know how to build a temple. We don't know how to build a temple. But we're going to let them build a temple, and we're going to walk in that thing. And you know what's going to happen? It's just like when Solomon dedicated the temple. The glory of the Lord's going to fill that building. It's going to fill that building, and it ain't going to be quiet. It's going to be a feast for 1,000 years. Sitting there and watching our lover, Jesus Christ, rule and reign for 1,000 years over those Jews. Not rule with a fist like this, but he's got his little Esther sitting right beside him. That's us, people.
Amen.
He's got us sitting right there beside him. They don't know redemption like we do. Brother, God bless you. Y'all got everything.
Just to be that little Esther.